Well, a very pleasant evening to you. I am Gretchen Seeley. Welcome to another edition of the Better Health Radio Show. On deck this evening, we have Dr. K.O. Ford St. Hill, and we're going to go right to her. She has a guest, and we're going to let her introduce the guest to you and present the program this evening. Good evening, Doc.
Good evening, Gregson.
Yes, we're hearing you.
Good evening to our listeners. I have this. You're not?
Yeah, I'm hearing you. No, yes. I'm hearing you.
No?
Yes, please.
Oh, sorry. I'm having a bit of technical issues.
Understood.
So I apologize to our listeners for that. Right. So this evening, I actually have with me one of my esteemed colleagues. Almost my namesake, you would say. Her name is Dr. Lynn Ford, but it would be more her namesake. Dr. Lynn Ford, I'm going to give y'all a little more information about her shortly, but I know some of you may be accustomed to it, but let's just remind everybody what we do on the Better Health Radio Show. So the Better Health Radio Show is aimed at raising awareness, public awareness of common health issues that affect us all. And as Gregson explained to you, my name is Dr. K.O. Ford St. Hill. Oh dear, my computer's doing funny things. Anyhow, my name is Dr. K.O. Ford St. Hill, and it is my pleasure to be your host this evening. And we are looking forward to an engaging and interactive session this evening. I take this opportunity to remind you that you can contact us with your questions and comments either by calling us at 434-1790. That's 434-1790. Or you can send your WhatsApp messages to 266-4862, 266-4862, and Gregston will read them for us. So feel free to contact us any way that you see fit. All right, so let me pull up my information. So Dr. Lynn Ford, I asked her for a bio. It is very brief and straight to the point. She obtained her Bachelor of Medicine, Bachelor of Surgery that we call MBBS in 1998. Her master's in family medicine in 2004, and she has been attached to the district emergency organization since 2020. And that makes her more than qualified to speak about what we decided to speak about this week. The three of us, the three doctors, Dr. Lewis, Dr. Grandison, and I were discussing that we really need to talk about hurricane preparedness, as we are very much in the hurricane season and we've already had our first storm. So we're actually probably a little behind in when we wanted to speak about this, but Dr. Ford has so kindly agreed to speak with us. So good evening to you, Dr. Ford. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, good evening. I'm Dr. K.O. Ford. Can you hear me?
Yes, please. Load and
hear me.
Okay, that's good to hear. Yes, good evening. Thank you for your invitation. Thank you for those very gracious words that you used in your introduction just now. I hope I live up to that.
You definitely will. So everybody gets concerned when there is a weather system, right? That threatens our island, despite the fact that we think that, you know, God is a Bajan and that we will always be spared. I think that Elsa and quite a few other things have shown that, yes, God is protecting us, but we should still be prepared and concerned, right? So,
correct.
I did say that you belong to the district, you've been involved in the district emergency organizations, but there may be persons who don't even know what that is. So, just to explain to our listeners what the DEO does.
The district emergency organization, let's look at the keywords in that word. District, that's one, and that means that this is associated by where we live. So the The DEOs are broken down according to the electoral boundaries. So I live in St. Philip, and I belong to the St. Philip North DEO. And then there are two other St. Philip DEOs as well, according to the two other electoral boundary divisions. And so same thing for St. Michael, St. John, everybody that has a parliamentary representative has a DEO, because just because of how there is. Therefore,
I never looked at it that way. Yeah.
So because you want if something happens, you want persons who are going to be in your catchment area. So we want trained persons in your catchment area, because you never know if there's going to be something that's going to a tree or something that's going to fall and block off contact with the greater part of the country. So we need persons in that area. The other part of the word is emergency. So we're there and we're trained to deal in the moment, in the time, any emergency that comes up. So we're trained in first aid. We're trained in radio communication. We're trained in chainsaw. We look for all the vulnerable persons who are in our district. So our aim is to be as much as we can, and as much of our people as we can, so that should anything happen and we become separated from the rest of the country, that we can hold on until help comes. Yeah.
Thank you so much for that. That actually helps a lot. Because I know there are persons who are like, but she's a doctor, what she mean? So the persons who are in each organization throughout, in each constituency, basically, in each district to get local, these are volunteers?
Yes, please. We're all volunteers.
Yeah, so that's good to know as well. They're doing a service. So I thank you for the service that you guys are doing for our country. So you do have two hats, and that's what makes it more interesting, because you are a medical doctor and you belong to the district emergency organization. So everybody should be concerned when there is a weather system coming, but of course this is a health show. So are there persons, like particular diseases, not diseases, but conditions or illnesses, who should probably be a little more scared, or not scared, but concerned, or prepare a bit more than the average Barbadian?
I wouldn't say there's any particular disease, because each disease has its own peculiarities. So if you are hypertensive, you need to be aware of salt. If you're diabetic, if you're asthmatic, if you have any cancer. So if you're children, any childhood illnesses, the elderly. So each disease you have to know for yourself. So I wouldn't say any more, any illness, any particular illness has to be any more concerned than any other. If you have an illness, then you need to be prepared for your illness. If you're a diabetic and you're on insulin, then you need to be prepared to know how you're going to keep that insulin stored at a cool temperature should we lose electricity. If you are hypertensive, then you need to be prepared to know that you're not going to buy up all of the high salt foods, tinned foods out there, because should something happen, you need to know that you cannot be keeping your salt intake higher than you would normally do it, should we not be under severe weather conditions. So I wouldn't say any particular illness, but if you have an illness, you need to be prepared for yourself and for your illness. If you are a caretaker, you need to be prepared for that person in your care. Children, elderly, they all need special mention, special care.
Yes, and I'm glad that you mentioned the caregivers as well, and that you know, if you have children, that you should, you know, special attention, because I remember being, you know, a first time mother, and during hurricane season, I said, well, you know, it never really occurs to you until you're actually in the situation. I have a friend who our children are about the same age, and I remember she said, I must confess, I was definitely not that super prepared person who had bags packed and everything, right? Mm-hmm. But she told me she literally had a bag for the baby, a bag for her, a bag for her husband. They're packed for the whole hurricane season. And I thought, whoa, you know, that's really good, because you literally could run at any point. And she always had everything that the baby needed in that bag. And I sat and I thought, whoa, you know, because after you, you know, when you, particularly when systems pass our neighboring islands, and they asked for, you know, donations for supplies and that sort of thing, and, you know, formula and diapers are usually at the top of the list, along with water. And I remembered just maybe 2 years ago, when we started to have the major supply chain issues, how hard it was to find certain brands of formula and that sort of thing. So I said, well, if that was frustrating and there was no weather issue, can you imagine literally your, you know, our island being devastated by a storm or a hurricane and not being able to get the formula that you need for your child because, you know, it's not available. You may not have stocked it on enough. Some people just can't afford to. So, you know, I'm glad that you pointed that out as well. So you did touch on a few things, and I think most people, when they think about the medication that has to be sought up, they think about, you know, hypertensive patients and diabetic patients. So I'm very glad that you pointed out that each illness has its own peculiarity, because, you know, there are persons who have cancer who are on chemotherapy, and some of those drugs have to be stored in the fridge as well as, you know, the persons who are diabetic and on insulin, at least the ones on insulin. So like, what advice can you give to somebody? Let's say we had a system pass and we lost power. What are some of the ways that persons who have medications that need to be stored at cold temperatures, what are some of the things that they could do?
Well, what are some of the things that you can do is that you need to be prepared. And if there is one thing is to get a cold bag, like a cooler, so that you can have and some ice packs, so that at least you can keep them cool for a few hours after the electricity has gone. But before, outside of that, you need to look around to your neighbors and find out who may have a generator or who may have alternative sources of energy, maybe solar energy, so that you can get that medication, that medication that needs to be refrigerated, you can get it back into the cold. Because if it is out for an extended period of time, then you know that you're going to be not as efficacious as it should be. And then you're going to get problems because you're not going to be getting the correct medication, the right medication, because it is now hot and it's just not good anymore. And that's another problem. So really, it comes down to planning. We cannot expect that there is going to be any refrigeration in the shelters, because they may very well not be. From what I understand, the shelters do not have yet that system. No, I asked that specifically today, and no, the shelters don't come with refrigeration. So you really need to plan for yourself and plan carefully, because as you would have heard in other islands that would have experienced the extended loss of electricity, these are the things that you would not have expected. You didn't have foremost in your mind, and these are the things that brought them down. The insulin, a lot of diabetics who went out of control because the insulin was no longer good.
Mm-hmm.
So this there brings us to the point then of preparation. If you have illnesses, well, before we get to those who have illnesses, one of the things you just mentioned is a go-by. Mm-hmm. A go-by is essential. And just like how your friend did it, there needs to be a bag for every person in the house. The bag needs to be packed at the beginning of the season, and it needs to be ready to go. There are things that need to be in the go bag per person, and there's food, there's water. You need to have a change of clothes. You need to have something to keep you warm, lighting, a flashlight, anything along those lines. Mm-hmm. And then it has to be peculiar to the person. So a child, you need mm-hmm. to have something to keep that child tells attention, because you know that a child needs some sort of small game or something that to keep them entertained. In that go bag, you should have your medication. You want at least 3 to 7 days supply of any medication that you're supposed to have. And you also need to have any cane or any glasses, anything that you know that you also need, hearing aids, mm-hmm. any of your essential things need to also be in that go bag as well. When it comes to the medication now, or sometimes you may not know what you need, or like for the insulin, this is where you need to have a conversation with your family physician, your general practitioner. The hurricane season is not the time to miss any appointments. You need to be up to date. You need to be current. You need to have the conversation with your doctor. What would I need to have in case there is a system that comes our way and we are cut off? How would I be able to store my insulin? How much medication am I going to need? How will I be able to have it? Do I need an extra prescription in order to go and get more medication to have it on hand?
Yeah.
And what over-the-counter medications would I need? You need some sort of analgesic, painkillers. You need something if you're having any vomiting, gravel, if there's any diarrhea. So those are the things that you would need in a first aid kit. Your first aid kit needs to be stocked and packed. And so hurricane preparedness is more than just going and buying food 2 days or on the same day and clearing out the shelves of all the supermarket on that particular day.
Yeah. I believe we have a caller, right, Gregson? Good evening.
Yes, great evening, Dr. Ford. How are you?
Let's just I'm Dr. fine. How are you? Dr. Ford.
Thank you, Dr. Ford. Right. Sorry for that. That's my fault. I more than need a touch from you. More than my blessings come from you, and you have more than blessed me with your presence. Both of your presences this afternoon, we really need a touch from the Lord to protect us from these storms and so on that only He can, because when you have nature out of control like this, it is very deleterious to your medication and to your health, where you might be out of medication, which was what was just being spoken about. And I have a couple of questions to ask, and actually three questions. The first question is, is that, yes, thank you. The first question is that what is the role of AI, artificial intelligence, play in terms of the future of this type of emergency medicine, this type of storms coming and so on, how we're better able to track them so that we can have the medical support and other leg that we can stand on, so that if it, so that if these storms are easier to be tracked, and they're, even if the artificial intelligence can help us with our medication, can help us with our medicine in terms of it knowing and predicting what may befall in terms of how you are to take it if you're falling short by a little bit and so on for that day, when we're in the storm or after the storm or when the storm is coming. The other question that I have is, yes, thank you. The other question that I have is, now, you have a particular case where you're dealing with a particular set of illnesses and so on that may be out to sea in terms of, because you were just mentioning that, and that's why this program is so important and so critical and crucial for people to listen and call and do ask people to call in as well. Now, what about if we have a problem in terms of the duration? In other words, the storm hits us so bad it's a Category 5, if God forbid, that we have to go through it for a very long period of time in terms of the capacity of the actual medication, the supplies, and so on. I'm not mentioning an apocalypse in which everything runs out, but I'm just mentioning if we are to stay for a very prolonged period of time in terms of 2 months, that kind of thing, what to do in that particular situation, you being the emergency doctor on care and on board and on hand for that. And my final question, is that now you have a particular aspect of not only emergency medicine, but these particular storms, these storms that do damage in terms of not only to maybe your home, sometimes not even to the hurricane shelter, but also, as you mentioned at the top of the program, where you're located. Some people obviously are located in more strategic points than others, some not. So what I'm asking is that how would drones play a role in trying to find all of those, not leaving anybody to die, finding that old grandmother who was immobile, she wasn't able to get to the hurricane shelter in time, and she is in a situation where she may be under some rubble or whatever. Maybe there was not only a hurricane, but it was a very big one in terms of its, especially the rainfall, where you not only have the regular outplay of the destruction of buildings from its wind force, but from also the exacerbated and expectant precipitation that comes in terms of having a critical drone structure in place, so that you can use the drones and so on to go in places where we can't go to find them, in wells or whatever. Thank you. Have a good night. God bless.
Thank you. All right. So I did note all three of the questions as best as I could. So I hope that we're going to do justice to answering them. So the first question that the caller was asking is, what is the role of artificial intelligence in the basically future of not only just tracking emergencies, because he mentioned more than just hurricanes, but catastrophic emergencies. And if AI can be used to help in terms of the medication. Now, some of what he did say, you know, in terms of helping you catch up on medication, if you've missed some and that sort of thing. The one thing I will say is that no matter what, we are in the medical field are firm believers that, you know, robots cannot replace us, as far as our clinical acumen and judgment. So that is definitely the role of the medical practitioners, to assist with any medical issues that occur after the after passage of a storm. Now, the second question that he asked about, you know, what happens if there's a category 5 or, you know, very bad hurricane or storm, and in terms of obtaining medical supplies, that is actually going to, we're going to answer that a little later, because that is a question, a part of a bigger question that Dr. Ford and I want to discuss a little later on, even though, you know, we are pressed for time because we didn't start on time today, so I apologize. Now, Dr. Ford, I'm not sure if you can answer the third one, which is how would drones play a role in finding persons after a storm or hurricane? But I figure that the Ministry of Home Affairs and, you know, all of our security armed forces and stuff and the district emergency organization use whatever they need to use that is available to when it comes to searching and finding persons if a recovery mission is necessary. But you can comment on that further.
What I would say is that just like you would have said just now, there are limits to each category. So when it comes to the use of drones and finding persons on the rubble, when we get to that kind of level of searching for persons, when we are usually above the level of the DEO. Remember, we're volunteers. Sure.
Yeah.
And so when you're looking for persons, you see persons using, as you say, whatever means that they have. I do not know if they have drones. They very well may be at the higher level of the disaster emergency, the Department of Emergency Medicine, the DEM. They very well may have drones. They may have. By that time, you might have to maybe calling in the police and the army and the police with the dogs.
Yeah, the soldiers and the firemen.
So there may be a whole lot of other, and their level of preparation for disasters would be at a different level from the DEO. From doctors. So I really can't say but I do know that they will do whatever they can to find persons, to mitigate as much loss of life as we can.
And Dr. Ford, we had touched a bit on it before, but as it regards to the average Barbadian family, what you did speak about in terms of what medical supplies they should have, we touched on having like painkillers, like, you know, paracetamol or Gravol for vomiting, because, you know, stuff like that does happen after a storm because people do get injured or they get sick. And then, you know, the resources can be pressed in these shelters. But in terms of what other things should families pack, like in their go bag or in their first aid kit for the family or their emergency kit?
Okay, so some of the basic things for a first aid kit should include bandages. They should include sterile gauze. Yeah. It should include tape.
You can get sterile gauze from the pharmacy?
Yes, please. Yes, okay. You can. You can go and buy them from any pharmacy.
Because you know that's what they ask. They said, but where you get that from?
yes. All of these are, you can get from any pharmacy.
Good.
We'll be able to supply you with them. You're not going to buy a whole box full.
No.
But like 3 or 4 or 5, just to, because then is you don't want to the first aid kit to be a big large size, because it still
right,
has
you don't
to
want suitcase. Into,
no. It has to fit into the go bag. It has to be on your back so that you can go
with exactly.
It. So you still don't want too much things in it. A tweezer, thermometer, some some jelly, petroleum jelly.
Yes.
Safety pins, gloves. In this era, if you have to go into a shelter, you may need masks.
Yes.
Those kind of things you may need. So those are the basic things that you will need. Let me go over them again. Band-aid,
alcohol or peroxide.
Surgical alcohol, peroxide will be useful, definitely useful as well. When I'm saying that, no, you if you're a family, you would only need one first aid kit. Everybody's bag would not need to have in a first aid kit at all. The other thing, you want to ensure that you walk with your medication, prescriptions. Mm-hmm. If you have an extra prescription at that time, you need to walk with your identification so that you can, if needs be, if you are found, if you're like a child, you need to identify them, tag them, for want of a better word, and put on their hand. So in the event that they are separated from you, this child has an identification on them, and we know who to reach, what their name is, what's the name of their parents, so that we have something that we can start with where their children and the elderly are concerned. So those are one of the things, the first aid kit and identification. Remember, we also mentioned the over-the-counter medication as well, and I think that is all that is coming to me as well. Remember the insulin, the basic stuff, batteries for batteries for hearing aids and glucometer meters, mm-hmm. anything you know that you are going to need, you have to ensure that you have a backup plan for it. That becomes critical.
Yeah, because I tell persons, you know, what comes to mind is that you have to literally think about, okay, especially like, all right, so how I started thinking about this was, again, you know, when you think of the baby, you have to think of literally what do you use every day that you could not care for this baby without. So it's the same thing for yourself, like, you know, if you're a diabetic, you need to check your blood sugar. So in your go bag, make sure that you take your blood sugar machine, your strips, everything. You gotta literally sit down and think through the process of how do I test my blood sugar on mornings? How do I take my insulin? So in a sense, having insulin but not having syringes, right?
Exactly.
And I just had another question that led on. Oh, yes. And I'm sure that this happens, that you've seen a lot of this as well, right? One of the issues we have a lot of the time as medical practitioners is that persons come to us, and when we ask, okay, so do you have any illnesses that you know about, or are you taking any medication on a regular basis? And we get answers like, yes, I take a white tablet for my pressure. So one of the things that I think would also be important, in addition to making sure you have a supply of the medication, you know, it's just in case your whole bag gets washed away, is at least having a list of your medications or knowing the medications. Because in a stressful situation, you may forget the names of each one.
Yes.
And even for the persons in your care. So you may not have paid too much attention to what granny's medication actually is called, because she takes it herself, or you put it out for her, you know, the cut, how much tablets she takes for on mornings, but you don't know of what. But it's very important. Only,
you know, not only the names of it, but you also have to know the dosages of it.
Yes.
Because the same medication may have two or three different dosages.
Correct.
Always been said that the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. Write it down.
Because you might, you're stressed, you can forget. You can honestly forget. You have
how so you many remember things. Medications you were taking 3 years ago, and things can get boggled and confused in a stressful environment.
Yeah, and you know that segues kind of into the second question that the caller before was asking, which is, you know, like, you know, how we would deal with, you know, a lack of supplies. Suppose we're basically the country shut down for a while, is that you may all, like, I remember when I was a student and an intern being in, not just here, but this is common throughout all the Caribbean islands. We all behave the same way. You know, you see somebody in the emergency room and they have no clue what their medication is. Now, if it's during the day, you may be able to call the person's doctor's office and find out what the names of medications are. But if we're in a situation after a hurricane where, you know, somebody comes, has to go to the hospital or they have to go to the clinic, but the computer systems are not working, or, you know, the phones are not working, we can't contact your doctor. So that's why it's very important that you, as the patient or as the caregiver, knows the names and dosages of those medications, because they can make, that can make a huge difference in how you're cared for after a weather system may pass.
Yes, exactly. One of the things that the caller I got from the call is that not only just after weather system passes, but he inferred that it was a long time that we were going to be out. And I can tell you that the ministries, the various ministries, Ministry of Health, Ministry of Affairs, the hospital, the polyclinics, we all have our various roles to play. So whereas the DEO may do it in a first aid setting, then we know that we have the things that we cannot manage at the level of first aid that may need to be bumped up to a higher level of medical management. So there are all those different entities have already put their plan into play, into having, whether it's a short term, and we know, we hear all the time, the Light and Power, Light and Power will tell you that they're working around the clock to get systems back into play. Water Authority will say the same thing. So when something happens, everybody is all hands on deck in order to get things back to quote unquote normal, so that we don't have persons without medication for a long period of time. So drug service, QEH, hospital settings, all the pharmacies will be back to running as far as possible, back to normal, so to get things, back to as normal as possible.
As normal as possible, yeah. Because, you know, we've seen from devastation in our neighboring islands, they usually ask for donations of medication. And we know, you know, on a national level, ministry to ministry, country head to country head, you know, things are organized in that way, where, you know, neighboring islands and stuff will send, you know, what is needed. Let's say, you know, you run short of stuff. Yeah, because I remember when I think it was Dominica, because I had a couple of friends who would have gone down during when they needed medical personnel, and I had friends who went down, you know, with the Barbados Defense Force, and they are the persons who usually carry, for who are the first people to respond and carry, you know, supplies to other islands. And we have regional security services and all that sort of stuff. So we have basically Dr. Ford and I are trying to say that the details of the answer to that question are a little of us, but there are systems that are in place, and that is part of, you know, the Ministry of Home Affairs, the Ministry of, you know, Transport and Works, the Ministry of Health, all of them. They each have their plans. And I know, you know, I work at a psychiatric hospital, so I know each ward at psychiatric hospital has to have an emergency plan. The hospital itself has an emergency plan, you know. So for each medical facility, because now that I do clinics within the polyclinic as well, I know, you know, each polyclinic has, you know, their own emergency system and that sort of thing. So as Dr. Ford was saying, you know, just to reassure our listeners, we try as much as possible to try, our aim is to get things back to as normal as possible in as short a time as possible. Just like Light and Power and Water Authority, we in the medical field try to do that as well. I remember one of the things that people get concerned about. Now, we have a very good water system, right? Even though people may not think so, when you compare it to other places, our water supply is very, very good, right? In terms of the infrastructure, our system, you know, we don't have a lot of people who are going to a well to get water. But we know that those services can be disrupted after a storm or after a hurricane. And everybody may not be privileged enough to have the recommended liters of water per person per day in terms of bottled water, or, you know, have had proper stores of water. What precautions can the public take? Let's say, because we're preparing for the worst. That's what we would like everybody to be prepared for, the worst, but we are praying for the best throughout this season. What precautions, as far as like the safety of their water, can persons, just basic practical tips for water and food during or after a hurricane or a storm or any emergency, really, earthquake, anything?
So to the security of the water is, a lot of it, if you do not have access to bottled water, or if your bottled water was, you're in a longer duration than we originally planned, and the water that we have is no longer what we would have had, then we need to start looking at water that is available and what we need to do to make it safe for consumption. So one of the things you have to do, the first thing we need to do is we need to filter it to make sure that there's no particulate matter in the water, so there's no dirt or stones or anything, leaves, anything that shouldn't be in it. So you filter it either through a clean cloth or coffee filter or anything that's below the clear part of it, to clear part of the water to pour off and leave the sediment to the bottom to separate the two. The next thing we do is we boil the water. Boiling the water is going to be very useful. Boiling is the surest method to kill the disease-causing germs, bacteria, virus, anything, and it gives you a better... You feel better. You know that you would have gotten rid of all of the germs that would be able to make you sick, vomiting, and the diarrhea that would be associated with ingesting water that is not clean. The other thing that we then do is, if you don't have the bottled water, or if boiling is not safe, you can just use a little bit of household bleach.
Yes.
Or there are sanitizing tablets if you happen to have those. But if you don't, you can just use the bleach to sanitize the water and to sterilize the water. And there are different levels, amounts of bleach that you use according to the amount of water. So if you have a gallon of water, then you can add 8 drops of bleach. Bleach to it too, and then you leave that, and that is going to make the water fit for consumption. And if you don't have any of that, then the hardest thing then is to filter it, and then you have to leave it out in the sun in the hot
midday
sun, and they're not lacking of sun these days.
True.
And that will be the last way of if you don't have it. So that will be last thing that we can do in order to filter and to sterilize the water for our St. Jess. So there are ways of doing it. If you don't have bottled water, then you filter and boil. You filter and add the appropriate amount of chlorine or Clorox, drops of Clorox, or you filter. And last option is to put it out in the sun until it gets as hot as it can, and then that will be fit for ingestion.
Yeah, those are very, very good and practical tips. You know, we're not sending you to, because I know when some people heard filter, they were thinking, so she want me to get a filter at that sort of time? Dr. Ford literally telling you to strain the water with anything that correct. You can find. We don't want you swallowing dirt and pebbles. So, you know, listeners, I will apologize again because we did start late due to technical difficulties, but we are at the point where we have to wrap up. So, Dr. Ford, are there any tips or closing remarks that you would like to leave with our listeners on this topic?
The one thing that I would like to leave is that you must have a go bag. And a go bag means that you must sit down and think and plan for what it is that you know you're going to need in the event that you have to leave the security of your home and go to a shelter or run or anything. In that bag, it has to have your medication, it has to have a first aid kit, it has to have important papers, it has to have medication already. You have to know how you're going to keep that your medication. If you're on insulin, you need to know how you're going to keep it. If you're on, I can't emphasize it enough. A go bag is critical. You must have a first aid kit. You must have all your important papers. Have the names of your medications written down, including the dosages and how often that you're supposed to take it. Have water in there. You have food to carry for you. If you're a child, you have to know that those persons who are in your care. A child, you know that is not only their food and their physical aspect that you have to look after, you have to keep them entertained. So
yes. if it's paper and crayons.
Even if it is paper and crayons, it must be some level of entertainment. Their favorite doll, their favorite car. that must be part of your planning. If you cannot see if yourself that you can't, talk to your doctor.
Yes.
Talk to your doctor. Your doctor will be able to guide you as to what you particularly need that may be different from somebody else.
I agree wholeheartedly. That is Dr. Lynn Ford. Thank you so much for joining us this evening on the Better Health Radio Show as we spoke about hurricane preparedness as it regards to your health. Very practical tips that she has left us with. And make sure that when you log off while you're listening to the music from Gregston, that you go and pack your go bag while the radio is on. Don't hesitate. Don't wait till next week. Do it now because we have no control over the weather. So thank you again, Gregson. It was a pleasure being with you again today. And thank you to Dr. Ford.
All right. Thank you, Pendy. Thank you both, Dr. Lynn Ford, the guest this evening, and as she said, the namesake, Dr. Keo Ford St. Hill, your presenter. God's willing, next weekend, we'll be back with you for another edition of the Better Health Radio Show. Until then, you take the advice of the good doctors and get yourself all prepared for the hurricane season. Thank you all, and have a good evening.